everyone. I hope everybody's doing great and having a lovely Friday. It's pretty warm here. I remember last Friday, we had like a bad weather. I had to pick my kids earlier. But today we have almost spring weather, which is awesome. And I love it. I'm glad I added it. And also thank you all for joining today. As we wait for a special guest, she is in the Pacific time. I'm gonna ping her. Wait, Matt, can you hear me? You're muted. Hello, Matt. Hello.
I made it.
Finally, awesome. I mean, I felt like I was speaking alone and I was wondering, can anybody hear me? Because Matt is not responding. How's your morning?
Good. I was getting some issue trying to join and I was like, yeah, that's how this is gonna work. I'm not gonna be able to join. It's going good. I have coffee, so I'm ready.
I am super excited. I think Matt is definitely having an issue. I think he might have to go out and come back again. But other than that, I just want to say thank you very much for taking your time. This is going to be awesome. And I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited. This is the first time I joined Space. I mean, actually hadn't even listened to one. So we had to do the test the other day because it's something new.
Yes. And I thought you were a pro already because you just joined and then you did great. And I was like, wait a minute. You already know how to do this.
they made it easy to use at least. So yeah.
That's amazing. Kudos, Twitter.
I don't know if they can hear. Should I be like muting my mic? I'm just going to keep it on and then you can tell me. If.
No, that's totally fine. I feel like most of the time when it has feedback is if we have many speakers just like having their mics on, but I might be wrong.
Okay.
But otherwise it's not bringing like any echo, so you're good. Unless the audience are feeling the echo, please let us know by reactions and then we can see. I think Matt is still stuck. And I think we will get started as we wait for Matt to figure it out. I hope it works for him. So, hello everybody and welcome to today's space. I am super excited to be hosting Maru. She's an amazing director of Android DevRel. I mean, that's pretty big. So we have a pretty amazing guest today joining us and she'll be telling us more about herself, her journey, like the amazing stuff she does at Google, and then giving us tips and also amazing books that she reads, because I want to know about your books. Just want to see your book list, even though I know I'm not reading books recently, but still, I want to see it if you have one. And any other stuff. So Maru, please introduce yourself and tell us more about you.
Thank you. And now you said book list and I'm like, oh my God, where's my book list? okay. So like Madonna said, my name is Maru and I lead Android DevRel. Let me see how this chat thing works. Let me make sure that they don't ping me. So I've been at Google for, I think, 8.5 years now. And before Android DevRel, I was leading a partner DevRel team who worked also on Android, but it specifically was working with companies, as we call them partners. So the apps that we have on Play Store. And then I think a year ago, I started leading the bigger Android DevRel team together with the partner DevRel side of the team. So very excited. I love Android. It's, you know, best job. I really have enjoyed working both on Android and with developers.
Sorry for the silence. I think Matt had requested me to remove him from speaker so that I can see if he can rejoin. So I just had a moment of silence there. That's amazing, Maru. I am pretty intrigued by your journey. And you did mention something pretty amazing, that once you joined, there were not so many women, and now you've brought in like 50. I think that's a very big accomplishment. Can you just tell us a little bit about like how that was? And then we'll definitely dive into other more questions as we go on. But I feel like that is pretty big because we don't get to see so many women in the tech industry. But you've been there in a big position just rallying for women. That is amazing.
Yeah, that's a good question, and I always joke that, you know, I had to learn how to play a good football game when I joined the team, because it was just me and a bunch of guys. And they were the best guys, by the way. I really enjoyed working with them, but it was a little weird and odd to be the only one. Even though I've been in tech for a long time, this was definitely the first time I was the only woman in a team. I'm originally from Venezuela, and I identify as Latina, and so I was like double me, just me on the whole team. So it definitely did not feel like it was balanced and or the right thing for the team. And so when I started leading, I joined the team as an IC, a developer advocate. So I wasn't a manager back then when I joined. And the moment that I became a manager and I had opportunities to start hiring more people to the team, that's when I started to look for ways to bring more people from different groups to the team, right? So the team could look more like the real world. And that really takes a long time, and it's really hard at the beginning, especially when it's just you, right? Because people will ask, like, what's the makeup of the team? How does the team look like? And, you know, saying, oh, I'm the only one was never really a, you know, great incentive for other people to join. They didn't want to be the second one. So it took a little bit at the beginning, but once you get enough people to join, then it just kind of like just rolls easily, right? And now we have, I think we just hired the 50th woman on the team. And I am very proud of that, because it really, at the beginning, it was an uphill battle to move that number. And we have, you know, now we have a very, I feel like a much, much more balanced team. And it's about that, right? It's about making sure that when people come and join the team, they feel like they're represented, that they feel like they can, you know, be themselves and not have to, like me, right? Like, I had to spend a lot of time learning how to play football, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to participate in activities with the team, even though that really was not, maybe not my preference at the time. But yeah, I think that has been something that I've been really happy and proud of at Google.
I am very proud of you, and I believe I saw so many 100% emojis. Everybody's very proud of you for that. Matt, I see you've joined us. Do you want to introduce yourself? I know everybody knows Matt, my amazing co-host. He also hosts sometimes, and then I co-host, so we love doing it that way. Matt?
Yeah, how's everyone doing? I hope everyone's having a good Friday.
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Awesome. Yeah, I had a little issue joining the space, but super happy to have you here today, Maru. Can't wait to talk with you and like ask some questions and hear what the community has to ask as well.
And I just used my first emoji. I didn't know how to use them. I just learned.
Wow, that's amazing. The other thing that I wanted to just mention is that if you have a question that you would want to ask Maru, please feel free to just request to speak. We do allow people to come up and ask questions, because I find it more engaging when you can just ask a speaker, like on a one-on-one. So as I think, Maru, something else that was pretty intriguing to me is that as a woman and a mother too, there's so many challenges that we get, especially like in the tech world. And I was wondering, how was it like? And I mean, I think the question I would phrase it like, what can you say is the most challenging experience you've had or you've dealt with as a director?
And as a director, being a mom, okay, maybe I can answer. Let me answer the first one, and maybe as a director, as a mom. being a mom is I mean, a big part of my identity. I am as mom as it can get. I really love my kids. I try to spend a lot of quality time with them. But I do work a lot, and so that's not always easy. And so I think what I've learned over the years is to give myself the permission to not be, you know, a perfect mom and be a perfect, you know, Googler and be a perfect at everything. And just know that at some point I'm compromising on one area or another, right? Like if I want to go to a school event in the morning, I may have to miss a good meeting or important meeting that, you know, maybe, you know, that's a compromise, right? Or maybe at some point I have to prioritize the meeting over the school event. And so I think just trying to find, you know, that for me, it's been about giving myself permission to be not, you know, fully in both was the hardest thing, because at the beginning I was trying to do all of it, right? And I always, you know, people ask, how do you do it all, or how do you have it all? And for me, that never works. I mean, there's a capacity that I have, right? And we all have. So, I mean, there's so many hours in the day. So I think it's just prioritizing and being okay with not doing all the things, but being very intentional about when I make those decisions, so I then don't feel like I'm missing out, right? And so maybe if I had to miss a school event at some point during the week, maybe that Friday I don't work in the afternoon so I can spend time with the kids and, you know, kind of give them extra love. So I think that's really what's worked for me. The pandemic, though, has been honestly the best thing in terms of being able to spend time with my kids, because, you know, I'm home all the time, even though I'm working. They're here, I'm here. If they feel bad, they have a tummy ache, or they need help with homework, they can always come and get me. And, you know, it's something that I never did before. I've always been working since they were born. I barely took any leave because I didn't have maternity leave in the places that I worked at. So that was before Google. So I really, you know, that's been something that I've been really grateful for, even though it's been so, so difficult, obviously. And I know how, you know, privileged I am to be able to work from home and all the things that I have. But I definitely have been really, it's been fun to be home with the kids. Yeah. And you said, what's the biggest challenge as a director, I think?
Yes. And actually, just to mention, you've answered that question very well, that it's about the priority and just picking what to do. And like, the way you're balancing it sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, I think that director or no director, I think the challenges are very similar when it comes to personal life, right? Being able to balance work and your life is just hard, right? It's like everything else. So I don't think it doesn't matter what my level or title is for that.
That is correct. And I think the reason as to why I put in there, that there, I know it's pretty big. You have so many meetings. You have so much to do. I mean, that's CISO level, so it's never that easy. Even though, I mean, it sounds like we'll definitely get the kind of like similar issues, you know, as a mom too. So yeah, that was awesome. Matt, do you have any?
Yes, I do have some questions. There's a little bit, I think, about like building a diverse team in the beginning. I think I may have missed that question, but I caught the end of the answer. So sorry if this has already been asked, but I was just wondering, what goes into building and maintaining an inclusive and diverse environment at the director level? And how do you foster that environment to create something that is very inclusive for everyone?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we talked about how did we hire, or how did we get to hire more women to the team? But I think that the question that you're asking is so important, because hiring is just the initial step, right? It doesn't matter how much hiring I do, but if we're not creating a team where people feel that they can, you know, succeed, or they can thrive, and that they belong, then really I'm not doing a good job, right? And the hiring is for nothing. So I think that my focus has always been on culture. And it's something that it's really hard to do, by the way, as the team grows and we scale. You know, it was very simple at the beginning when my team was small, and I could, you know, I was like, oh, I have direct influence, right, in the culture of my team. Like, you have 5-6 people, and then it's pretty good and easy to manage that. But as that starts to grow and you start to have managers under you and the team starts to get much bigger, then you need to find ways to move away from the culture being about you and to really scale the culture through everyone on the team. Right. And so now I've learned over the years that, you know, what worked before for me, which was, well, I am the culture of the team. I am the one driving all of these things to make sure that the team is inclusive and the team is a place where everyone feels, you know, that they should, you know, that they can, again, belong and succeed, to be, well, how do I empower people on the team so then they all create the culture that we want, right? And that has been the biggest challenge for me, to learn how to do that. I think I'm not going to say that I've figured that out 100%, but I definitely, it's something that I'm working on. And obviously the managers in my team play a big, big role in that, and they're amazing, and we have the best team. So it has to be everyone's priority. So now I always try to remind people that for us to have the team that we want, we all have to work for it, right? It is the responsibility of all of us. I am accountable for it and I take responsibility for it, but I think that we all have to make it work, right? Because if we have people that are doing the wrong things and creating an environment that it's difficult for other people, and you're not speaking up and you're not supporting and you're not, you know, kind of giving feedback or supporting each other, then there's so much I can do, right? Because the team is big enough now that doesn't work. So I think for us is really just kind of distributing that responsibility across the team is what I'm working on right now.
Awesome.
I hope you.
Hey, go ahead, Madonna.
Oh no, that was not me. I think it's mine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I just a quick note. I think Twitter is having some issues right now overall. So if people are having trouble joining the space or requesting to speak, hopefully they can resolve that soon. I just tried to refresh the website and everything seems to not be wanting to load.
Yes. I was wondering too, because I've tried that and I'm wondering what is happening to Twitter.
Yeah, so
not today.
Yeah, hopefully everyone can still hear us. Hopefully this recording still goes through. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I have a couple more questions. If we still have everyone here, and just more about the developer relations role in particular. I'm wondering what developer relations means to you, especially coming from the director level. So what kind of direction are you wanting to take developer relations, and how do you encourage that in a productive way for anyone who is, you know, reporting to you?
Ooh, okay, that's a great question. Okay, let me start by, I guess, maybe a little bit more context. When I joined Google, I had never heard of DevRel. So I didn't come to Google with experience or knowing what I was going to do. I had no idea what I was doing. So I was an engineer that, you know, became DevRel. And it was very interesting to begin with, because, you know, I think the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I'm not the only one. There's many, many people that join DevRel and they have been engineers in their previous life. And then they join this and they're like, oh, what does that mean to do DevRel, right? And what I love the most about DevRel is that it means very, very different things for multiple people and teams. Even at Google, within Google, we have multiple DevRel teams for different products. And we all kind of do different things depending on what's needed, right? What is needed for the product to be successful and for developers to be successful. So I love that because it gives so much flexibility and I think opportunity for growth, right? Because you can make it your own and you can make it interesting and different. And so I think that is the beauty of DevRel, but it's also, I guess, the hard part of DevRel too, because you kind of have to make it, make sometimes things that you don't know. You know, it's less structured than what you would think of as, you know, a normal, you know, engineering job. Also, I think that what I love about DevRel too is that to be successful in this role, you have to be obviously very technical and really have, you know, technical expertise, some whatever, you know, in whatever role you are. But you also have to be really have lots of empathy, right, for developers, because our job is really to understand the developer experience, understand what they're going through and how can we help make that easier, right? And we are the bridge between these developers that are using the products and the engineering teams and the products teams that are building it. So I think that really requires a very specific type of profile, right? It's a very special, I think, group of people. So I really love DevRel. And then you ask, how do I set the direction for the team? And so when I started, I said that I had started leading this team a year ago, maybe even less. I think it's been 6 or 9 months. It feels like 3 years because life is just so busy now. But it's been like maybe 9 months, which means that I'm still learning, right? I'm still learning what it means to lead Android DevRel as a whole. And that to me is the most fun part of my job, right? Is when I'm still uncomfortably learning and trying to figure out things. So what I'm trying to do right now is really understand what are the things that we're doing well, right? What are the areas in which, you know, Android is already doing well, the things that people understand and we are providing enough support and help. And which are the areas where we're like, we really need to work hard on making that easier and better, because that should be our focus, right? So one of the things that I want to do, that we want to focus on this year, is how do we improve developer productivity, right? And we are asking so much of developers. We have, you know, Android is so big and so complex. It's just gotten so big since I joined Google. It's this massive thing and it's amazing. I love Android, but it's big and complex. And so the more that we continue to evolve the product, the more difficult some of these pieces get. So we want to make sure that as we're asking developers to keep up with everything that we're doing, that we're trying to make it easier, make more sense of it, right? So this developer productivity focus for us is, how do we lower your investment? How do we make it easier for you to do the work you're doing? And how do we make sure that you're getting the most value out of it? And so that's going to be our focus for this year. And that's not just for DevRel, but also on the Android side as we think about developer. So that's what I'm doing, what I'm learning. But yeah, I'd definitely love to hear feedback from the community on what we can do to make it easier and better for you.
Awesome. Are there any channels for that sort of feedback that exists today?
That's a good question. We do have some channels. I don't know if those are the best channels, to be honest. but you know, you can always reach out to me. I'm very available. Unfortunately, I like being available. But maybe that's a good question, Matt, and something we should think about, right? How do we engage in ways that are more structured, so it's not just you tweeting at me or sending me a message. But yeah, I think that's a good question. I don't have an answer. I know there's some people from the team here. Maybe I only see Yasmin, but and I see Ksenia too. Maybe something we should think about. How do we engage better? And so you can get us that feedback. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, I do have to say I've been really enjoying some of the content and how it is coming out in a written form and an audio form and a video form. So whoever likes certain mediums can get it where they prefer it, and that's been great for me, because sometimes I can put a video on, or sometimes I just want to like do some chores and listen to something, and it's been really nice.
Yeah, and I really love that, and that's not something that I by the way, I'm not taking any credit, the team was doing that before I joined, but I really love the you know, we need to build this in a way that it works for everyone, and everyone has different learning ways, right? Like I personally really struggle with video. I just cannot sit through a video, but I like to listen to things, and I also very much like to read things and kind of go through like code labs and things like that. Really work well for me when I can be just writing code next to something. But you know, for some people, videos work really well. So I think that we should really approach it as different ways, right? Because everyone's going to have a different learning preference.
Yeah. That's something that I unfortunately learned after I got out of school, that there are different ways of learning are really beneficial for me than others. How are you doing, Madonna? I unfortunately can't rejoin the spaces like pop-up sheet, so I'm just using like the notification to enable my mic. But
I know it's pretty interesting that Twitter's out today, because that's also happening to me. I've gotten like DMs from people telling me they can't join or rejoin, and I'm like, oh no, so sorry. But I'm hoping the recording, I think it's still going on, and I see we have people in here, so definitely the recording will be there. I'm hoping they don't mess that up, but I think it should be there. And then we can share with everyone that
cool. Yeah, so if anyone wants to ask your question and can't join to speak, same thing goes, just DM either me or Madonna, and hopefully it makes its way to us, and then we can ask for you until Spaces or Twitter gets its connection issues figured out. But until then, Madonna, do you have any questions that you're curious about?
Not question, but just to say, I really do admire your work. I love what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, and you're rocking at it. I just wanted to say that.
I don't know. You don't. I mess up mostly daily. So. I think, you know, it's an interesting situation. I think to me. Like we've never met, but I feel like we know each other because we talk so much through Twitter. So I always really enjoy the like informal conversations with people. It's where I thrive. I don't like I was telling Madonna that I even though I'm in DevRel, I don't like speaking in public. It makes me really nervous. It's not something that I really enjoy doing. This doesn't feel scary because I'm not seeing people's faces. So it's kind of like just me talking to the phone. But like going into a big presentation is scary. And I think this is yet another example of how you can be successful in DevRel and not just have one type of profile. Like you may think that to be in DevRel, you have to be this like super extroverted person that likes to be in the public all the time. I'm not. I've never have been, and it's just not really something that I like. I like doing other types of work. So there's really different ways, you don't have to be one type of person to be successful in this role, which I think is so fun.
That is true. And I think I just wanted to add, I did meet you once on, I think it was the Women Tech Makers during the Android Summit. We were talking. That was awesome too.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we did that. That was fun. Yeah.
That's really interesting. And something that I and probably a couple others in our field deal with, since we are, you know, used to being behind a computer screen most of the time, is just dealing with things in isolation and maybe not wanting to be a public speaker. So I am curious, what other kinds of traits do you look for when hiring for DevRel? And I know you touched on this a little bit earlier, but if you could just dive in a little bit more, because if I'm not mistaken, I think the DevRel team is hiring right now.
Ooh, you're making it too easy for me. Yes, we are hiring. So please do. This was not something we planned. So thank you, Matt. we do hire for different types of people. So you know, obviously, you know, speaking is part of the role for some people, but not everyone on the team does public speaking. So if you are a good public speaker and you are, you know, someone that works on Android, that's a great profile for someone, for us to hire. But we also like to hire people that maybe just want to spend, you know, more time writing code and kind of doing this work that we call zero customer work, which is kind of like coming in early and playing with the APIs and working closely with Eng to make sure that what we're building is in the right direction, right? Based on the experience that we have. We hire people that, you know, might have more experience with more kind of narrative or thinking about story and how do we present the content to developers. Like that's another part of the job. So I think they're very different types of skill sets. Like we work one-on-one with developers. Like I mentioned before, we work with companies like, you know, partners or apps that are building on for Play. So for instance, my experience before I came to Google is that I did a lot of consulting work, and I had experience working in more like, you know, professional services kind of work, which, you know, helped me a lot as I was doing work with partners. But I think that you know, DevRel really, we have a very broad set of skills that we need. I do think that communication is really important, and I think it's critical for the role. Maybe not in terms of public speaking, but definitely in terms of how can we, because we do so much advocacy both internally and externally, right? And I think the internal part, for us to be able to be successful in this role, we need to be able to convince or influence people internally to do the things that we think are better for developers, so I to take things in the right direction. And so without having the right communication skills or being able to really collaborate internally with the teams, I think that people really, that I think is the biggest skill. So both being able to communicate internally and also externally, and also how to collaborate successfully with people. Like if you're one of those people that just want to be on your computer, just you, then maybe this is definitely not the role for you, because we do a lot of cross-functional work.
Awesome. Really good to know and interesting points. And I think that is like a part of the role, like it's an expectation going into it. So it shouldn't be something that catches anyone off guard who is applying. But it also looks like Twitter might be back. So if anyone wants to come up and speak, please do. We would love to have you. If not, and you still want to ask a question, just send them to either me or Madonna in a DM and we will ask for you.
Yes, and I'm very happy that it's back. I just checked and yes, we are back.
Wait, so we've been talking to each other only through this time?
Oh no, I think I'm seeing reaction and we have people in here too. But I said we are back, it's like I work for Twitter, like we are back.
Well, I'm definitely getting a lot out of it. So hopefully other people, if they can hear us, can too.
Yes. And I have some people from my team here. I want to give them a shout out because the talent that we have in Android DevRel is just amazing. And, you know, I can see Kat here. Kat does so much for the community with all the training that you all see on our site. You know, so much is coming from Kat and her team. You know, I see Ksenia, you know, she's working on Wear and lots of apps on the health and fitness space. Niharika, she's in India helping developers there, which is so important, such an important region for us. And, you know, such complexity there. I see, wait, this thing is moving. So people are moving around. I see Yasmin, but I don't want to call her out because she's going to ask a question. And Yasmin is, she says she's my favorite, but I do not confirm nor deny that. And Liam used to be in my team, but he's not right now, but it's still like in my heart, he's still on the team. So, and we have some other people here that also were on the team, like Peter. I always joke with people when they leave the team. And by the way, this is just a joke, but that, you know, they can go in my blacklist because they leave us. So Peter is not in that list. Oh, and Angel has his hand up.
Can you hear us, Angel?
Can I just say something before we go to Angel? I just wanted to say, please, if you're not following Maru, please go ahead and follow her. I mean, you by just her talk, you can just tell how amazing she is. So please make sure you follow her and you stay connected. Just wanted to say that.
It looks like Angel might be having some technical difficulties. But until then, Madonna, do you have any questions to while we wait?
That's a good question. Did you hear me when I said everybody follow Maru? I don't know if...
Okay. Yes.
Because something happened to my headphones, like they disconnected and then they came back in and I'm like, oh my God, what just happened? But yeah, I mean, pretty amazing.
And by the way, full disclaimer, I don't really talk about Android much on my tweets. So just to set expectations and not disappoint people.
Cool. While we wait for Angel to come back, hopefully he can rejoin us. I have a few more questions about DevRel. Yep. And I guess we started to talk about it a little bit, but in terms of developer relations, like what does that mean to you and your team? Like if you are going to spin up a new team for developer relations, how do you set them on the path to success?
How do I set them? Okay, that's a very good question. If I have to set up a new DevRel team, I think that I kind of was doing some of that as we just got the teams together for Android DevRel. And I think that I think this applies to probably every team really, is I think it's really important to listen to people in the team, the people that are already there, and understand what's working and not working before you make decisions on how what's the right way to either structure or to the direction for the team moving forward. I think that there's just so much to learn from what's, you know, what's worked. And I think sometimes I've seen leads or leaders come in and kind of want to come in and change everything because they have some experience previously. And I think that's good, right? Our experience is really valuable, but at the same time, I really want to be respectful as well of the experience the team has, right? And what's worked and what they've tried and it hasn't worked and why. So that's the first thing, right? It's just spending time listening. And I think for a DevRel team to be successful, we need to make sure that we have, and again, for every team, that it has the right leadership, that you're setting up the team in a way that they can be independent, autonomous. They can, you know, they have enough direction from you, but they can execute without you, right? Like my job is to really get myself out of my job. I'm not there 100% yet, but that's my goal. So then that way the team, you know, the team should not need me, right? That's where I feel like I'm being successful. So for DevRel to be successful, I think it's very, very important, because I mentioned this before, is that connection we have with product and Eng. So I see my job is to really create the opportunity for us to have the right, I would say, I don't know the word, it's not level, but the right relationship with these teams. So we are a partner to them, and we're not kind of a service team that is doing things for them. Like, we want to be partners. We want to come in at the table when things are being decided, when products are being defined, when decisions are being made. So I see that as the way that I can help my team be successful, is really elevating the value that we do internally at Google, why DevRel matters, why developers are important. And so then I think that once I do that, then they can do their jobs, because they know how to do their jobs. But I think that if I do a good job in creating that space for them, then I think that we can be more successful as a team.
Awesome. That's super cool. It's interesting to think about that from the team level, because being mostly a part of the teams, it can be hard to see how other teams might interact with each other from this top-down view. And yeah, thank you for that awesome answer.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I mean, I was just there listening. I was like, oh my goodness, Maru, you came prepared. I mean, just to mention, we did not give her the questions.
I was going to say, I don't know about prepared, because you didn't give me questions. So yeah.
Also, please, if you want to come up and ask any question, please feel free to just request and come up. Other than that, I think there's a question here that's been asked, and it's saying, for one to be in that level, it's pretty hard, especially there are people of color. What are the challenges you faced, and how did you overcome them, and do you think it's luck?
That's a very good question, and it's not luck. It is not. I wish there was some luck in it. I think there is. Yes, it's hard. So two things I will say. I said that I am from Venezuela and I identify as Latina, but I also, if you can see my picture, you don't see me, but you can see my picture. I'm pretty. I'm not gonna say I'm white because I don't identify as white, but I am fairly. My skin is pretty light, right? And so I know the privilege that carries. So I'm going to start with that, because it's not the same for everyone, right? But starting with that, I one of the things that I think is important is when I think I mentioned this, I joined Google as a developer advocate. I wasn't even a manager. I was a senior developer advocate, and I have gotten promoted through the years being in this role. And so I didn't get hired as a director. And when I was we have these numbers at Google. So like level 7 is what comes before a director. When I was a level 7, I remember, because I do a bunch of DEI work, diversity, equity, and inclusion work at Google. And I went to this meeting that had the leadership, or director leadership, director and VP leadership from Latinx group at Google. And I remember seeing the group and thinking, oh, this group is not big enough. It's not where it needs to be. And that was maybe a year and a half before I got promoted, and thinking, well, there's not a lot of people that I can see that are, you know, where I can see myself becoming a director in this group, right? It's just so small for the how big this company is. And I thought, well, what can I do, right, to make this better? How can I help improve this for me and for other people? So I remember getting out of that meeting and saying, I need to do, you know, what it takes and the work that it takes to be able to become a director, because I want to make sure that others can see themselves represented. And this is really, really important to me. And I do not care personally about my title. It does not give me anything. Honestly, I'm the same person. It does not change who I am, but it does give me a seat at the table in places where I did not have before. And with this seat at the table, I'm able to really, you know, advocate for people like me, right? And make sure that other people in other groups understand how the challenges that we have, right? And so I spent quite a bit of time internally with not only the Latinx community, but also the Black Plus community to understand, you know, what are our common challenges, right? So I can be a good advocate for us, a good ally. So I think that the I guess the TLDR of this, or the short version of it, is that I really did this work, and it was not luck. And I worked really hard to do this because I believe how that representation is so important. And we need more representation of people of color in leadership positions, not only at Google, but everywhere. And I'm very proud of the work that Google has done in this space in the last few years. But there is more to do. So yeah, I'm very excited and so grateful, really, to be able to do this work at Google. And it's something that I spend quite a bit of time of my time doing.
Wow. Very well answered. I can't add anything other than, please, if you're not following Mar, just go ahead and click that button. Yes. Matt, did you have any questions? I think we have Kareem.
I just want to say, like, thank you for that answer, and keep up the amazing work, because it's something that, like you mentioned, our industry and others need as well, because it's really important. And I'm glad that we're seeing this sort of shift, and people like yourself with these visions are being put in places where they can make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, amazing job. Great job.
And one thing, though, that you did say luck, because someone asked, and I think there's something important, too. I don't want to say, there's a lot of people that work really hard and do all the right things and don't get to have the opportunity that I have today. So it's not just hard work, right? Unfortunately, and I'm not going to say luck, because I really don't believe in it, in that, but I do believe that there's a big component in sponsorship and getting the right support. So people can see you and can see your contributions and the value that you add. So maybe that's the luck that I have, that I did have the right support throughout my years at Google. But I think it's something that we also have to work at building, right? Building our own sponsorship and our own support network so we can have that. And that doesn't really come with a lot of us. Like, when I joined Google, I didn't know anyone at Google, right? And so I didn't have that. And some people do have that. So I think we have to work extra hard to get that. But it is super important. I don't know that you can do it without that.
Awesome. Yeah, great points. And I think that's like quote worthy, where we're going to probably see that float around Twitter for a little bit.
Yes. I hope you captured that, Matt.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Awesome. Karim, cool. You have a question?
Yeah, okay. Thank you all for all. I am Karim Redouan, junior Android developer, fresh graduate. I need to ask Maria, what his advice for junior developers and fresh graduate to move from local companies to global companies like Google and etc. of these companies to work in it? For example, what the type of projects can we work on it? Etc. of these things. Thanks.
Hi, Kareem, and thank you for the question. That's such a good question. And there's something very interesting happening in tech right now. There's so many jobs right now. There's just, I mean, an incredible amount of demand. But at the same time, I know that many people are struggling to find opportunities, especially for people that are coming into the industry for the first time, or they're more junior, right? They're studying in the, you know, in their careers. So it is interesting, because we are desperately trying to hire, and at the same time, there's people that are not finding the roles, right? So there's definitely a little bit of a mismatch there. And I think that it for me, one of the things that I don't know, the answer of local company to global company, let me hold that for a little bit. But I think how to focus on, I think, you know, there's a lot of work that you can do that is, I've seen people successfully do work that's more external, either, you know, contributing to open source or publishing learnings as they start in their journey. I think that I've seen people be very successful with that. Companies are looking at that more and more now. When you're going to hire someone and see, oh, look, how is this person contributing to the community, right? And so I think that is one very good way of doing it. I do understand how difficult it is to do that on top of your job. Like, I don't know how Madonna and Matt do all the things they do, you know, in addition to their busy lives. But I know that that's something that's really helpful. It helps build your, I guess, credibility externally more, maybe faster than just, you know, with your regular, just your job, right? Because one of the things that I know, and it's not so bad today, but I remember when I joined Google that I only worked in small companies before I came to Google. And pretty much no one that looked at my resume would know what those companies were, right? And I think there's this bias, right? Where if I go to another company now and I have Google in my resume, it's obviously, you know, they're like, oh, okay, now, you know, it's easier for me to get a job. So I do think it's harder to make that jump from the local small company into these bigger companies. So creating this more visibility for you by participating in the community, I think that's really very, very good way of doing that in a way that's more manageable, I think.
Okay, thanks. I am fresh graduate, but I have a library as an open source, and I contribute at Google repositories, and I work on starter project for create starter project for Android projects. For example, our idea is get the Postman collection URL to create an application with data and domain model is 1% using retrofit and health for dependency injection. So I need the opportunity to develop my skills with a good company.
Yeah, and thank you for what you're doing. I think what's very important is contributing and connecting with the community. And so I encourage you to continue to work on that and listen to what, as you're building your libraries, what are the things that other developers are struggling with? And so how can you serve a need, right? And how can you help solve a problem? I think that you can be very successful with that. And thank you for your question.
Okay, thanks.
Sweet, thank you for coming up, Kareem. Anyone else who wants to come up and speak, please do. If you don't and you still have a question, just DM me or Madonna or reply to one of our tweets about the space and we will ask for you. Madonna, did you have anything?
Sorry, my space, they're acting up. I don't know what's happening to it. Sorry.
No worries. Looks like we Angel reconnected and joined us. How are you doing?
Hey, man, I'm good. How you doing, Madonna? How's it going, Maru? How's everything?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry about that. I had some, honestly, it wasn't even Twitter. I just had a personal engagement I had to do. So I had to just get off. Before I say anything, I just want to say thank you, Maru, and the whole DevRel team. I mean, over the years, I mean, everyone on that team has done a tremendous job, you know, making my job easier, you know, and honestly, it's really more with the content. You know, as when I first started out 3 years ago, there was content, but it wasn't as much as it is now for like everything, you know, and everything is like everyone has said, you know, sometimes you just want to learn with a code lab, sometimes you want to learn with a video, or sometimes you just want to read. And I don't know how y'all do it, but thank you, because it's like every little format's there. And the question I had was more about the culture and, you know, the great job that, you know, Google and you as well, Maru, doing with the team. Like, I know you said you haven't figured everything out, and I kind of agree with that, because I'm the same way. It's like you're never going to know everything, but, like, what's some of the things that you've noticed that, you know, when you talk to your team, specifically your managers, that, you know, that you guys decided, okay, this is going to work for our culture, this doesn't, and what were some of the ways that, you know, you was able to implement?
Thank you for the question, Angel. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the team, because thank you for saying that we have so much content, and it's true. The team, oh my God, the team works so hard to do all the right things, and they pay so much attention. And you know, there's always, you know, there's always things that we can do better, but I am so proud of the work that the team is doing. So thank you for saying that. In terms of the culture, things that that are going to work or that we should do, I think one of the things that is very top of mind right now for me is because we're all working from home and we're all very distributed, is the challenges of maintaining both a team culture when you're all in different places, and also how you also make sure that there is equity on the outcomes for a team when you have some people that, you know, might have it easier because they were on the team for a long time and they have experience and they may not need as much support, versus maybe some people that are newer to the team. And you know, the newer people, we've been working from home for 2 years, so they may not even know their coworkers in person at all. So there's a lot of that that really keeps me up at night and thinking about how can we really make sure that we're taking care of everyone and not just, you know, because the longer that we are in this mode, the longer that we can see the effects of that, the isolation or the separation of not being with the team. So that's one thing that's very important. And to prepare for a time, I think long-term, when we will continue to be in this mode. And the reason why I say that is we are embracing as a company that, you know, location choice for people. And so I think in the team, we have lots of locations already, and we have people that are going remote and working from locations where there are no offices. And I think for us is how do we really make sure that long-term this is going to work, right? Because we were used to working all together in offices. So that it's a challenge that we haven't figured out, but it's something that we as a manager team spend quite a bit of time thinking about. So yeah, how do we make sure that people are supported in the right ways and there's equity as we think about long-term, you know, for those that are going to go back into an office at some point, hopefully crossing fingers, and for those that will stay home, how do we make it so there's no disadvantages, right, for those that are staying home? Especially, yeah. I hope that answers your questions.
No, yeah, it doesn't matter. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of companies are going to have to face. So hopefully we can come together and share strategies to address that separation of in-office versus at-home culture. And I know Adam has a question about this sort of stuff as well. So how's it going, Adam?
Good, thanks. Yeah, so I actually had a question following up on talking about all the incredible content that the Android team puts out there. I was actually really curious what that process is like. Like, is it the developer relations, like the dev advocates themselves who are like, oh, today I want to write about this or make a video about this? Or is there another team that is like, oh, here are the mediums and topics we're going to cover, and they kind of delegate that to the advocates to create? Like, I don't know if that makes sense. What's that process like? Who decides what content gets put out there and in what medium?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And hi, Adam, how are you? Thank you for your question. The process, it can be, I think that it definitely is on our side, on the DevRel side, but it's very collaborative with the product and engineering teams that we work with, right? So we try to understand, as we know, their roadmaps of, you know, product launches or updates they're doing. Then we make decisions together and we suggest, because we know better on the content side what works, we suggest a combination of what we should be doing, right? For some areas, we only, you know, do documentation. For some, we even only do reference API docs, right? And so it depends on what's needed. And then we start building up an outreach strategy based on, or a content strategy based on what's needed for the product. And so we have kind of a whole set of different types of content that we can do. And between the developer advocate, which we now are called developer relations engineers, and the product teams, we make those decisions together. But yeah, there's a lot of, I think, direction and strategy that comes from the DevRel side on that, which makes the job fun too. We're not just taking a bunch of tasks and executing on them. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Of course.
Oh my goodness. I also want to apologize to Karim. I was trying to move him to listeners, and then for some reason it kind of like worked, like I removed him. I feel so sorry for that. Sorry, Karim. We're still learning these spaces. Yeah. Otherwise, other than that, Maru, you're doing great with the answers. I'm the commercial person.
I'm meeting expectations. That's good. It's my first time doing it.
Oh my God. You've exceeded. It's like exceeding expectations.
My joke is more because at Google we have this course, right, that we give people. So I'm giving myself a meet expectations for doing this today.
I would say exceed for sure. This has been really enlightening, and I've really enjoyed learning so much from you. And that does bring me to another question regarding the Google Developer Expert Program. So I'm wondering, because I've been seeing more of a push across the internet about like how to get involved in the program and what that is about and what the program means and just everything like that. And I'm wondering if you can shed some light on why that is and like why there is a push to bring on more people and what the opportunity is and maybe some resources that people could look for to get involved in the program.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's such a good question. And thank you for bringing that up, because we love our Google Developer Experts. The Google Developer Experts do so much for Android. I mean, it's incredible, really, the amount of contribution and support that they give to the community. So thank you for doing that. I know how much more work it is. And again, we all have jobs and we all have very busy lives. So thank you for doing that. The question of how, well, first, why we are asking, or why do you see the need for more? I don't know that it's that we want to have more just because of a number, but it's more that I think that we're seeing such a big impact from the work that the GDEs are doing, that of course we want to expand and continue to grow our network of GDEs. But it's very much about the quality and not the quantity, right? So we obviously continue to focus on bringing the right, you know, people that are going to be good role models and leaders for the community. And then the how, I don't, honestly, you know, you're asking me now, and as a new person to this team, I'm thinking, I don't even know the how. How do people become a GDE? Which I'm actually ashamed of saying in public now, but I don't know the exact process. And I know that I have Nick Butcher here, who's one of my senior leads on the team. Maybe Nick can go on, and maybe he has some more details on the process and to share. And I'm putting you on the spot, Nick.
And I did the right thing, invited him to speak.
And now he's like, why? Why am I joining this? We can have some elevator music while we wait.
Yeah, but we just have to remember, sometimes people join on web, so they might not have speaking functionality. But maybe if they can switch around or join on mobile, that would be great. But Madonna, maybe you can speak to a bit of your experience as a Google Developer Expert in the meantime.
Yeah, so basically what happened to me is I joined this amazing program, the Women Developers Academy, which is was more of mentoring women to be good speakers, because I do know there's a deficit of, there's not so many women doing the speaking or engaging or in technical speaking. And then the Women Developers Academy was a pretty nice one by Women Tech Makers, and I applied and got in. And after that, they had the ability to just like nominate you based on you having completed that entire program, and also the work that I was already doing for the community with Women Who Code, and also just doing study jams and code labs. And the reason as to why I did that is that I found that it really advanced my knowledge of Android and my knowledge just in overall, like just knowing what I was doing, because there's so much, like Mario mentioned, there's so much to learn in Android that you can't even be an expert in one thing. And I think even the expert title is more about you just sharing your knowledge to other people, but not you being like an expert complete, because I cannot call myself an expert, to be fair. So the process was straightforward, like submit your talks, what you've been doing. And I had given talks, like I've done major talks even for GHC, which is the Grasshopper Community for Women, which is pretty big. Anita Borg, if many of you know about that. I spoke to what it was like a panel with the three other amazing women in big tech roles too. And others that I've done is with Women Code Again and also DroidCon London. And I think as long as you can show what you've been doing to the community, how you've contributed to the community, I think you do qualify as to become a GDE. That was it. Like just giving back. And I think the other thing is like just doing videos, sharing, and also writing blog posts. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thank you, Madonna. And there's a website now. I was looking at Google Developer Expert with lots of information too. So if you go developers.google.com/community/experts, it has more information there to how to sign up and do the application. How can you apply for it? And one of the things you said, I think it's really important, is that the word expert may be very scary. I know it's scary to me. I mean, very few people, I don't think any person even at Google is a full expert on all things Android, right? It's just very big. So I would say we have expertise in areas of Android, and that I think is the right thing, instead of saying we are a whole expert of everything. That's not expected.
Awesome. And I see we have a couple other Google developer experts in the chat too. So if you want to come up and explain your experience, that would be an amazing resource. And no pressure though. Don't feel like you need to. Until then, we've gotten a couple questions in some messages. Let me see if I can find that real quick. One question is asking for a good route to learn Android development in 2022. So what are some good starting spots?
Some good starting spots. I think I would start with our training. We have some really great online courses to start with. Again, I want to give a shout out to Kat. She's on the call, and she's been putting together a curriculum for people starting new on Android. So we have quite a bit of great basics training there. And then I think joining the community, right, and asking questions, I think it's a very good way also of learning. I've seen quite a bit of people online saying, oh, I'm new to Android, and starting to ask questions. And a bunch of other people on this list too, all of you supporting and answering and helping, you know, figure out things. Again, because it's hard and it's complex and it's big. So I think that for me, when I started learning Android, I started learning small parts of it instead of trying to figure out all things at once. Again, very big. It was overwhelming to me. So I have lots of empathy. And I think that just trying to focus on, let me learn how to do this one piece of it first, and then kind of building up on that, I think it makes it so much more approachable.
I have a follow-up question to that. Sorry, Matt. You said you learned Android. Can you just tell us what version were you working on? Because that's interesting to know. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot.
No, that question was to me, you said? Yes, yeah?
Yes.
What was I working on? So when I joined Google, I did not know any Android. And my first project was on what we had our first version of Android TV. So it was good because it was kind of limited in terms of a smaller set of things that you needed to learn. Was the more template based. So I also didn't have to deal too much with UI, which was always very scary. And a big shout out to Compose, because I'm now finally learning how to build some UI on Android. It took me a few years only. And so, yeah, I think that just, I started with TV and it was great. And I really love, you know, I always joke that Google was paying me to watch TV and kind of test TV apps. So I would go to work and watch Hulu or Netflix, and it was the best job in the world. That's what I was doing. That's how I learned Android.
Amazing. Good to know that. It's also good to mention, I think I've also worked on the Google, what is it called? The Google Glass, which I also find to be pretty great technology to play around with.
I just wanted to say that's pretty funny, because the two previous companies before I joined Square were both dealing with media, and they had TV, Android TV apps. And the first thing that we would do for new hires, me included, was to have them fix some Android TV related bugs.
Sorry.
Jeff, we see your hand raised up. Did you have a question for Maru?
Yes, I did. Thank you. And first and foremost, I just want to thank all three of y'all for creating the space for us and to ask these questions. And my question is, I've been reading a couple articles lately, and it says like Kotlin will possibly replace Java. So if we're interested in getting into Android development, should we focus on Java, then Kotlin, or should we focus on Kotlin to start getting into Android development? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. And this is a good question. Definitely, I would recommend just going into Kotlin. We are, at Kotlin first now on Android. So definitely, I think it's much easier and nicer to learn to start with. So yeah, definitely would focus on that. And we have lots of resources and training courses on it too.
Thank you.
Kotlin community is also great. So lots of things that happen outside of Android, lots of support from the Kotlin community.
Thank you, Maro.
I just want to add that there's really no negative to starting with Kotlin. The only time you might want to look into some of the Java stuff is when you get into more advanced Kotlin things and might need to know how certain interactions work at the Java virtual machine level. But aside from that, Kotlin will solve most all your problems.
Yeah, I wanted to add something on top of that is that the code labs are also like in Kotlin, and I find them to be very well written, so that will be very helpful. And on that note, I've pinned our Twitter community here. If you want to join, please, you can send either me or Dan, who's in the space, or Josie a request, and then we'll let you come hang with us. So I think so far I'm liking the community, people just asking Android questions, getting answers, amazing. That's what we love.
All right. I got another notification from someone in DM, and it's not a question, it's just a shout out that they wanted to shout out Catherine Kwan from Google and just thank them for every step that she put in all of her hard work as in the Google Developer Scholarship Program in 2018. It really helped this individual. So awesome job, Catherine, and thank you so much.
I was proud of it too.
I love that. And I want to say I am so inspired by Kat's commitment and just clear vision of what she wants to do with training. It's just so great. Every time I talk to her, I get out of that conversation and be like, yes, we should do more. And it's really a testament to how much this team really cares about doing the right thing for developers. They make my life so easy and my job so easy. So yeah, thank you, Kat. I know you're there.
All right.
I have been told by my public speaking coach that I need to be okay with silence. So it's something I'm practicing and being okay with not saying anything and stopping after.
That's a good point.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the shout out. This is awesome. Thank you for putting this together and for Maro for answering questions and for folks for being here. It's my first time using a Twitter space, so I'm just trying to navigate around. But yeah, I just wanted to just mention a couple of things from the questions that were asked about, like, contributing to the community. I think that's a great way to share your knowledge and also to become better at Android development as well. And I think it's great for also showing employers too, so they can kind of see your abilities and skills as an Android developer, both in terms of coding, but also if you create like articles or YouTube videos or anything like that. Because I think not only are technical skills important as an Android developer, but also like the soft skills, like can you work in teams and also eventually mentor other developers on your team as well. But I wanted to ask a question for Maro actually about, I don't know if you all already talked about leadership and stuff, but I think what Maro has done a great job with is like really trusting the team and giving ownership of projects to people and empowering them that way. So Maro, I wanted to know if you wanted to share more about like how you think about leadership and growing the teams, like helping people with their careers. And maybe if there's any like managers or people, leaders that you learned from that you wanted to emulate.
Oh, that's a great question, Kat. Putting me on the spot. I put you on the spot, so yes. It's good. I think that, yeah, it's been such an evolution, honestly. First, I had such a great manager when I joined Google. And I know that you know, managers can be, you know, hit and miss, but this was such a great experience for me. I had managed people before I came to Google, but Google has a very, I mean, I really love the philosophy of how we manage teams at Google. And so I really, for me, was learning kind of from scratch from him. And he really had a servant leadership style. And I really appreciated a lot of the ways that he put himself in the back and really putting his team in the front, right? And really also shielding the team from bad things, right? I remember, you know, he used to tell me he was the shit umbrella, sorry for saying that in this space, for the team. And I thought that was really great because I remember feeling very safe and secure in my job because he was taking care of the very bad things around us. So I thought, you know, I learned from that, but I think that it's really important to adapt leadership style to what, you know, your own style. And so some of the things that I learned from him really applied and really worked for me. And then some of the things that, you know, are more, you know, based on my own values. And I think one of the things, again, I really care about because I started with that conversation is having been the only one in the group for a long time really created a sense of urgency for me to make sure that people felt included. So that was something that was really, really important to me as in my, the way that I lead my team is always making sure that I'm paying attention to people, that I'm paying attention to everyone, right? That I'm not just paying attention to the louder ones or the ones that are, you know, asking for more of my time. I'm always paying attention to for the quiet ones because those are the ones that most likely I'm not going to see if I don't. So that's something that I do. I really care about making sure that there's equity on the team because I care personally about that, right? Of equitable things for me. And then the second part you mentioned is trusting and empowering and, you know, allowing ownership. And that is something that I really had to learn, honestly. When I started, I remember my first manager, you know, for the ones that don't work at Google, when we have our review cycles twice a year, if you're a manager, your reports do kind of like a survey of how you're doing as a manager. And so you get a score. And I really failed my first score, really, really failed. And I did because I came with a mindset that my job was to get results and to really manage the work and make sure that things were getting. So lots of control, lots of structure, lots of things that really don't work at Google. And so I learned the hard way that that was not what worked. I got lots and lots of feedback. And what I did is that I spent time with my team understanding why what I was doing was not good for them. Even though we were getting very good results, they were deeply unhappy with me because of my way of leading. So I had to work through that and it was challenging. And I really doubted that I was in the right job and maybe I should have not been a manager. But thankfully I stuck with it and my team was really gracious and gave me the patience and the time and to learn and grow as a manager. And then we got through it together and I've learned that, you know, this is important, right? It is important for people to feel ownership, to feel that they have, that they can be empowered to make decisions, right? And so it wasn't that I just had that I learned. I had to learn it in the job. So when you're a new manager, there's lots and lots of growing and learning. And I mean, even today, I'm still learning quite a bit as a manager. Of course, I make mistakes all the time. But I think that I, you know, obviously, after all these years, I hope I'm doing a better job than back then when I was a terrible micromanager then.
Sorry, Catherine, you can go on.
Oh, no, I just wanted to thank Mara for sharing, especially a more vulnerable story. I think failures are hard to deal with, but I think when it just makes it feel more like it's okay to fail.
Yes, and that's where I felt like we needed the heart emoji so that I can just send that because that was so well answered and well explained. Thank you, Mara, for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that's something that we need to normalize is sharing more of our struggles and failures and how we learn from them. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I think we had Sid as the next. Sid, do you have any question for Mara?
Yeah. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for the information and the knowledge you're sharing. I want to ask for someone that is starting out, because I'm a self-taught Android dev for now, like here. And at the moment, I'm really I'm puzzled because there's a lot of information that's coming concerning Compose and the Vue system. So it looks like the community is contributing a lot to Jetpack Compose. It looks like the Vue system isn't given a lot of time and contribution. So for someone that is in my shoes, what would you advise to take up for building UIs? Thank you so much.
Hi, Sid, and thank you for the question. This is a good question. I think it has probably multiple answers based on multiple factors. So let me try to answer first. I think if you're starting out and you're wanting to come into Android and start building a career, I would say definitely go and learn Compose first, because that is our future and that's where we're going. But is Compose the solution for everything right now? We're not there yet, right? We're working towards that. And so I think that there might still be situations when you have to go and learn how to use Vue, because maybe Compose is not, you know, doesn't fill all the gaps just yet. So I think that maybe I would say start with Compose, and you may have to still learn or do some Vue work while you do this until we get more mature, right? Until we get to be there. But what I said, that maybe the factors are different, it depends if you go and you're like, well, but I got a job at this company and they are, you know, have this like big app and there's lots of views and, you know, we have to learn how to do that. So obviously that's more important at the, if that's where they are. So I think it depends on what you need. But if it's a learning and you want to start new in Android, I would definitely go start with Compose. And it's also so much easier, honestly. That's what I was saying earlier too. I really struggle. I don't know how to build UIs. It's not something that I had experience with. And so when I had to come into Google in the XML, like when I started learning Android and XMLs and just fragments and views and all these things together, was like such a nightmare for me. I was like, what is happening? I could never put a box under another box. So I think that, you know, with Compose, I'm like, oh, this makes it easier for me to read. So I also think it's maybe an easier entryway. And maybe I hope it is. That's how I feel like it after years of, you know, working on Android. Hopefully that answers your question.
It looked like there were some connection issues. I'm not sure if they are still able to talk with us right now.
Yeah, that might be it. But they will definitely join us. I think Eric was next. Do you have a question, Eric?
Hi, thank you for bringing me on here. I was listening in earlier when you talked about the Google Developer Experts and experience and stuff like that. And I felt like I wanted to comment, but I was sitting a little bit in a bad spot at that moment. I'm out walking now, so it's much more silent. But yeah, I just wanted to say to those who think about it, as someone who's been a Google Developer Expert for a long time, I like the comment that you said yourself. You don't have to feel like you're an expert on everything. It's very important. I've been in Google Developer Expert for many years, and I'm still learning, and I'm still asking what I feel myself sometimes is a stupid question. And I think it's very important to bring that up. As an expert in the Google Developer Expert program, you're an expert at one thing, and that is, I think that deserves attention. So you just need to be good at one thing, and that's enough.
Thank you, Eric, and thank you for the work you do for the community. And you're right, honestly, I mean, in tech, even beyond the GDEs, we're never experts in anything. You know, things are changing all the time and we're always learning. So, you know, when you say, you know, stupid questions, I think is what you said. I love asking questions. I don't think any question is stupid. It just means that you don't know something. And I think that you should ask it. I think there's nothing worse than not understanding something and not asking because you're worried about someone thinking that you don't know something. And then it's worse. It's worse for what you're doing. And then it just doesn't create growth for you. So I always ask all the questions. And I'm sure a bunch of them are dumb questions, but I have no fear of asking. So.
Yeah, I liked your description of the Android TV stuff that you were learning the UI there. It was like, I think that's a great example of how we gain the skills and then we gain the expertise afterwards. So yeah, thank you for that one.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming up and sharing that with us. Before we go away from the Android TV topic, because that just came up again, I did get a question in a DM about Compose support for Android TV, primarily around the D-pad navigation. Do you know anything about that, Maru? Is that coming soon?
I'm laughing because I know what you're asking. And yes, we need Compose everywhere. Lots of stuff outside of mobile is coming, and it's in the works. So yeah, but yeah, we want Compose everywhere. So, but I don't have a date or yeah, we're working on all this.
Yeah, soon to be determined.
Yeah, everything is soon in the Android world for us.
I was surprised that there was an actual date when Compose was first announced.
You mean just for Compose, right? Yeah, for the
date? Yeah.
Oh, we've done such a good job, I think, and I shouldn't say we, I wasn't part of it, but the team, engineering, product dev, everyone with Compose and how open lots of, you know, the development was done in the open with developers, with feedback. I think it was done so well. So yeah, I think it different than other things we've done. So yeah. And I know also for when I said we want to bring Compose everywhere, I also, you know, Ksenia, because I'm looking at Ksenia there, I know that we are doing work with Compose and Wear as well. So that's something else that I know the team is working on.
Awesome. I have a couple more DM questions. But before that, if anyone wants to come up and ask Maru anything or Madonna or myself or any other speakers up here, please come up and ask, or DM me and Madonna if you don't want to speak today. We'd be happy to answer any questions you have. So next question from the DMs is about books. And what are some books you would recommend for someone who is working in Android development or looking to get started in Android development?
Oh, that's a good question. I honestly don't have a good answer for it, because I have never read an Android book. So maybe someone else can help answer. I was going to say, oh, I have lots of books I read, but they're not Android books.
What kind of books are they?
That list. I mostly just, and mostly I listen to books on Audible, because I try to multitask while I'm cleaning or cooking or doing something else or walking. I'm trying to read. I mostly read leadership books right now. It's what I'm spending most of my time trying to learn how to be better for the team. But yeah, that's what I spend most of my time. I have a couple of authors that I really like, but I'll read anything. And a lot of times of these books, you know, you'll read a full book and like get two pages of content that was valuable, but that to me is enough. It's worth it, because I'll learn something.
Awesome. And this is kind of a good opportunity to bring up the space we're having next week, where we will be hosting Thomas Kunith, who just wrote a book about Jetpack Compose and how to get started in it, and then further onto some advanced techniques. So follow me and Madonna to see some updates about that. And yeah, join us next week.
And on that note, I just wanted to say again, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us today, spending the afternoon with us. Maru, I know it's morning for your time, but thank you very much for spending your morning with us. We truly appreciate you. Thank you very much. Just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I didn't know this was going to be so fun. So thank you. Thank you. I hope it wasn't so boring for people listening, but it was fun for me to do this. So thank you.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm still good to go for a little bit. So if we want to hang out longer, like, that's great. I am running out of questions, though. So if anyone wants to come up and contribute, that would be great. Unless Madonna, you have anything?
I need to go. I'm so sorry. I have scheduled at 11. So but thank you, and I'm sorry I didn't ask the end time. I just assumed, so I just put another meeting now. But thank you for inviting me. This was fun.
Oh no, that's great.
I hope to join to listen in next time, now that I know how this works.
And please,
yeah, well, thank you so much for coming.
Yes, and please follow Maru if you're not. And Maru, again, thank you very much. I'll also have a meeting coming up, and I know, as much as we want to continue, wow. Oh, Yasmin wants to come up. Yasmin, I see you. We'll come say something.
that's my cue.
I heard you told the host not to let me accept me, you know, asking questions until the last minute. Yeah, this is where I go, because she's she's gonna ask me something hard. So thank you again. I'll leave. And Yasmin is way more entertaining than me. Bye.
Okay, bye, Maru.
Bye, everyone. Great job, Maru. It was great.
Right. Yes. Thank you for coming, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Yes. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming today. And please stay tuned. Please follow Maru. Follow Matt for the next phase. And thank you again very, very much. Thank you. I'm very grateful for this amazing hangout. Bye.